Father, we praise you because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are the one who knitted us in our mother's womb. You planned us from before time began. You know our days and our thoughts, and we are not a mistake, nor is any child a mistake. And we praise you because you are sovereignly in control. I pray that today, as we look at your word, as we examine why life matters, that we will take seriously the issue before us, that we will recognize the importance of the image of God in every person, and that you might be made to look as good as you really are. We do love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. You've probably seen the video by now. Last week, the Senate in North Carolina passed a new law that allows abortion all the way up to the time of birth. And they cheered this passage of law. It was an incredible tragedy, an incredibly sad thing to see, a malicious miscarriage of justice. It's become a pandemic in our society. But we're reminded in Psalm 127 that children are a heritage from the Lord. They're not a mistake. They're not an accident. It's more than just a clump of cells. It is a human being. And although as believers we know this, the reality is that since Roe v. Wade passed on January 22nd, almost exactly 1 year ago, 1973, not 1 year, almost exactly to the year, in 1973, since that time, 59 million babies have been murdered through abortion. 59 million innocent lives have been snuffed out. Compared to deaths by gun violence in that same period, 1.5 million people, we find that ratio to be about 1 in 60. For every one gun death, there are 60 that are killed in the womb. Yet our society screams to end gun violence, but screams for the right to snuff out the lives of innocent babies at a 6,000% greater rate. Roughly 1 million abortions took place in the U.S. in 2017. We don't have the 2018 numbers yet. By their own numbers, last year, we do have these, Planned Parenthood performed 321,000 abortions last year by their own numbers. 30 of those took place here in Hillsdale County. 30, even in our own county. Scripture indicates that as believers, we can't ignore this. We can't ignore this sin, this miscarriage of justice. And Psalm 139 gives us a three-prong reason why all life is important to God. And as we recognize this, it will help us as we care for these teenagers often, these parents that find themselves trying to make these decisions. As we look at this, let's look at Psalm 139 together. The psalmist writes, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is bright as day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you." Here in Psalm 139, the psalmist informs us that all life is important. And in this psalm, he lays out three reasons for the sanctity of life. The first reason that all life is important to God is that God knows you. God knows you intimately and deeply. He says, "You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my paths and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it." The psalmist begins this psalm with this idea that God searches us and knows us. It's this picture of investigation. God has investigated every part of us. God closely examines us, and as a result, he knows everything about us. We first learn that God knows our thoughts. He says, "You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar." God knows. He knows when you are resting. He knows when you are active. He knows all your plans, even before you do them. He's able to discern your thoughts from afar. He doesn't have to be right next to you. He knows you so well. He knows exactly what you're thinking. Perhaps you've had friends like this before, where they knew what you were thinking before you even said anything. I know what you're thinking, because they knew you so well. How much more the God of the universe, the one who created you, he knows even your inward thoughts that no one else knows about. Secondly, we see that God knows your ways. He says, "You've searched out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways." He says, "You've searched my path and my lying down." Literally, this is my path and my bed, the time of my activity and the time of my rest. You know everything. God knows exactly what you are doing at all times. You know, often children think their parents have eyes in the back of their head. How did you know that? But the truth is that parents simply know their kids. You know, YouTube is filled with videos of parents catching their children before they fall, or before some catastrophe befalls them. And the videos are often amazing because the parents start moving even before it appears that anything is going to happen. How do they anticipate this? Well, because they know their kids. They can see it coming. Once again, how much more does the God of the universe know you? He knows exactly what you're doing. He's well acquainted with everything you're involved in, but it also means he knows the situation in which you find yourself. Often we feel that we are hemmed in with no way out because no one really understands what we're facing. No one really knows what I'm going through. But the reality is your life is important because God knows. He knows what you are facing even before you do. Third, we see that God knows your words. It says in verse 4, "Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether." God knows you so well and your situation so well that he knows exactly what you will say even before you say it. I had a roommate in college. We used to love how our actions would make our other roommates uncomfortable. We would sit in silence for hours as we studied. And at the exact same moment, unplanned, we would say the exact same thing, word for word, at the exact same time. The roommates would go, "That is so weird. How does this happen?" The answer was simply that we knew each other so well. How much more God? God knows exactly what you're going to say, even before you say it. But finally, because God knows your ways, and he knows your thoughts, and he knows your words, finally, God knows your fears. He says in verse 5, "You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me." God knows what you're afraid of, and he guards against it. He surrounds you and protects you. What does this have to do with the value of life? Well, God cares about you individually. He knows you better than any other being in the universe. He cares about you intimately, personally, and deeply. You matter to God. This is also important as we discuss the issue of abortion, because that baby matters to God. You know, often the mother is fearful, and we're reminded that that mother and that that father matter to God. Often the mother feels as though no one else understands what she's facing. But God does. God knows what she's thinking in the dark recesses of her heart. God knows her fears, and God still deeply loves her. And it's important that we as believers extend this same love and care and concern. The psalmist concludes that this idea of God's knowledge is overwhelming. He says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I can't attain it. I can't fathom this love of God." The love, the thought of God's omniscience makes him feel as if real knowledge were beyond his reach. But not only does God know you, we see secondly that God sees you. He says, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is bright as day, for darkness is as light with you." We learn first in this section that God is everywhere. The psalmist asks, "Where can I go? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, if I go into the earth, you are there. If I go in the morning and dwell on the farthest parts of the sea, you're there." The presence of God is everywhere. And so he perceives all things in all places. And man cannot hide himself from the all-seeing eye of the Lord, whether in the highest heavens or the deepest recesses of the earth or the farthest corners of the sea. And the knowledge or discernment of God can never be limited to a particular place, because God's sovereignty extends everywhere. You know, sometimes we feel as though our situation has moved us beyond the reach of the Lord, beyond the reach of God. We are too far gone. We're too lost. But the reality is that we cannot get away from God. He's everywhere. In a few weeks, we'll be studying the book of Jonah. You know, Jonah thought he could run from God. But no matter where he went, God was there. But because God is everywhere, God sees everything. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light be night about me, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. You know, we can conceal some things from man, but we can hide nothing from God. He searches and knows all things, even our innermost secrets. On the other side, even when we are in the darkest times of our lives, God sees what's happening. Sometimes we wonder, God, where are you in the midst of this darkness? Don't you see what is happening? And the answer is yes. The Lord's hand will protect his children wherever we may be, even in the darkest of times. You matter to God because God is always here and God always sees. For the parent, God sees your struggle. He sees your need. He's not out of sight. He's not gone. And he cares deeply about you. Finally, all life matters to God because God formed you. Verse 13 says, "You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." We see first off that God formed you intentionally. The psalmist begins saying, God made you intentionally. It says you were formed by God in his inward parts. God knitted you together in your mother's womb. You were not a mistake. You were not an accident. You were not just some chance. You were an intentional creation of God. This also follows then that every baby is made intentionally by God. Babies are not accidents. They're not mistakes. They are intentional gifts from God. And further, we see that this intentionality begins at conception. God is the one intentionally forming that baby in the womb. And to end that process is to intentionally subvert the very act of God. But not only were you formed intentionally, secondly, the psalmist tells us that God formed you skillfully. He says, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." He says, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven or skillfully made in the depths of the earth." You see, every baby matters to God. Every life matters because God made you skillfully and wonderfully. You know, one of the arguments for abortion today deals largely with babies being born with illness and deficiencies. The abortion movement argues that these babies are better off not even being alive because of the problems that they will face. But this fails to recognize the wonderful work of God. Even in their deformity, even in their deficient bodies, these babies have been wonderfully made by God for a specific purpose. They are special to God because he designed them. And if you wonder about this, spend some time around the Special Olympics. Spend some time with one of these children. You will find that you will walk away blessed, not blessing them. You'll find no greater batch of joyful people than in the midst of those areas. You see, they are special to God because God is the one who designed them. And who are we to argue otherwise? Finally, the psalmist tells us that God made you purposefully. Before you were born, God had a plan for your life. And that unborn baby, God has a purpose and a plan for it as well. The baby matters. He says, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." When the baby is still unformed, before it even begins to resemble a human being, God has a purpose and a plan. God even knows what every day of that baby's life will look like. He even knows what day that person will die. Who are we to play God and state that it's not a human? Who are we to place our desires over its life? This is why we demand that life be taken seriously. This is why we demand that abortion cease. All life matters because it's God who planned it. You see, God made you for a purpose. And so your life matters to God. And the situation in which you find yourself is not a surprise to God, because He planned your days before you were born. So He knows the situation in which you find yourself. He knows you. He sees you because He formed you. And confidence in the Lord's ability to discern and perceive the nature and needs of His people comes from belief in God's purpose, that He's the Creator and that He planned it all. God cares about you, and He cares about where you are at. This is why the psalmist concludes this section, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I'm still with you." It says, because of this, God's thoughts to you are incredibly precious. They are absolutely inconceivable how amazing they are. To the young lady contemplating her child's life, we say God cares about you. Your life matters to Him, and the situation is not a surprise to God. He has intentionally allowed you to carry this baby, and so we encourage them to look to God for the answers. To the church, if all life is important to God, if we actually believe this, and I hope that we do, there are several responsibilities then that we have. Not things we ought to do, but responsibilities that we have. First, we must live like our life matters to God. We ought to live like our lives are actually important, and how we live our lives are actually important to God. We must live in such a way that we demonstrate to a lost, confused, scared, and dying world that God is real and worth living for. I was reading the statement of a well-known atheist this week who said that one of the strongest arguments against God is the way that people who claim they believe in God live. That was like a knife to the gut. We ought to be the strongest argument for God, not against Him. If we truly believe that life matters, then we ought to believe that our life matters and how we live it matters. Second, we have a responsibility to treat everyone who comes across our path with love and compassion. If we believe that every life, all life matters, then every life ought to be treated with love and compassion, even the ones we disagree with. God is not honored when believers get into the mud and we start slinging insults at our political rivals. Nancy Pelosi's life matters to God. Donald Trump's life matters to God. The rich person's life matters to God. And the poor person's life matters to God. God is not honored when we sling mud. We ought to respond with love and compassion and be different. Third, we have a responsibility to fight for those who cannot fight for themselves. If all life matters, then we have a responsibility to fight for those who cannot fight for themselves. This goes from the unborn to the old and decrepit. We must stand for all life. We are people of eternal life, and so we must fight for life. This means supporting, helping, counseling, and even at times loving toughly those who need help. Finally, and most importantly, if all life matters, we must loudly proclaim the message of eternal life, the gospel. That a well-known atheist I was talking about went on to say that if he truly believed that when people died without Christ, they went to hell, he would be loudly proclaiming it from every rooftop if he truly loved people like we say we do. You know, our prayer is that the laws change so that abortion is illegal. However, if that does happen, those changes in law will not really change the problem. You see, only the gospel can do that. Because it's a heart problem. And when the church once again takes the gospel seriously, that's when the world will be changed. That's when the laws will be changed. You know, the world has not gotten worse and worse because sinners have gotten worse and worse. The world has gotten worse and worse because believers have stopped caring. It's simply the reality. So if you really believe in life, act like it and loudly proclaim the gospel. Let me give you 5 takeaways, action items as we walk out the door, Sanctity of Life Sunday, that we are going to respond with. 1, recognize that your life matters to God. It starts with you. What you do, what you say, how you act, and how you live matters to God. And he's laid it out right here. And until we take this seriously, and until we start living as though God matters and our life matters to God, we cannot expect anything to change. So 1, recognize that your life matters to God. God knows you, God sees you, and God formed you. 2, if you recognize that your life matters to God, you ought to recognize then that all life matters to God. All life does. Even the life of unborn children matters to God. Even the life of your political, dare we say, enemies matters to God. All life matters to God. And if this is true, then 3, we ought to advocate and stand for the unborn. We ought to loudly proclaim and advocate for their lives. What this looks like in our local area is that it means that we support our local pregnancy centers and our local Right to Life. It means that as we have friends and coworkers and family members that find themselves in these situations where they are contemplating what to do, we present them with the resources available to help them. It means as a church with single mothers, we care for those mothers. We don't just see them on Sunday. Throughout the week, we care for them. Part of the reason that mothers struggle with whether to keep their babies is because they don't feel as they don't have any help. And that is a black eye on the church. We ought to truly care for them. Nancy said it as she presented her ministry. True religion and undefiled before God in this is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. You know, we're really good at keeping ourselves unspotted from the world, but we're not great at that first part. That's true faith. And so we'll support our local pregnancy center. And finally, proclaim the gospel. It's the answer. The gospel is the answer. The relationship with God is the answer. We ought not be stunned when sinners sin. It's what sinners do. When do sinners stop sinning? When they become saints. And that only happens through the gospel of Christ. So the answer to change the world is not necessarily new laws, although we fight for them. And the answer to changing the world is not some new politician promising amazing things in the office. We've seen that come and go. Although we fight for godly and right people in office, the answer is for sinners to become saints through the gospel of Christ. So loudly proclaim it. If all life matters, then all life should matter for eternity. So let's be people of the gospel. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to look at your word. Lord, we are overwhelmed by the reality that you care about us, that our life matters to you, the God of the universe. Thank you for that. Thank you for taking special care for your creation. Lord, I pray that as we focus today on this travesty of millions of lives being snuffed out every year, that we would do more than simply wring our hands and moan, but that we would recognize that we hold the answer, even here in our little corner of Hillsdale County, the answer of the gospel of Christ and the kingdom of God, the answer that life matters and that we can invest in people. Lord, I pray that we would take seriously the responsibilities that we have because of being image bearers. Lord, I pray that Cambria Baptist Church would be a church that is known for love and compassion and care, that we would make you look as good as you really are. We ask these things in your name and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.